Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Call in and join our conversation. You can call in at 646-668-8467. Our email address for you to send us comments, complaints, questions, and compliments, whatever you would like to send, is stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com. And if you want to follow us on Facebook, it's Stay Out of My Crease. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at Stay Out of Crease. And we are also syndicated on Arena Sports Network on Thursday nights. So if you miss us live, you can catch us either on our podcast or you can catch us there. So welcome. Thanks, guys, for listening. We really appreciate it. I do want to mention I have had a lot of my Canadian friends that listen say that we love your show. We just cannot afford to call in because it's very expensive for some plans. So the best course of action, because I was asked this, is for maybe getting an internet or a Google phone number, and then you can call us free of charge. If you want, hey, hit up my Facebook. I'll put you on live if you call my cell phone through the Facebook Messenger. You know, that's always an option. That's only if you're my friend on Facebook, though. So we also have our Valentine's Day polls that are going. The female one is in the Ladies of the NHL Facebook group. We are having a great success with that. Ryan Kessler has beat out Lundqvist so far for the hottest male. And Jimmy's poll is up in a few different hockey groups that I am in. So if you're in any of those hockey groups with me, you can vote for your favorite hardest hitter. You can also email us or tweet us or find us on Facebook to nominate your favorite. And that'll be for our Valentine's Day special, which is actually next week. Yay! So that should be a lot of fun. So I'm going to actually bring in my wonderful co-host, Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Kimmy. How you doing?
How are you? I'm good.
I'm good. I'm thinking that, you know, we should change some of these nominees because people I've been talking to kind of want to have Pronger back in the conversation after his hit on Justin Bieber in the during the All-Star weekend.
He is definitely a hero for that. That was great. I had to reshare that. That was just, I know how people feel about Bieber. And yeah, we may have to name it the Chris Pronger poll or something.
There you go. Well, and the best part about that is the still shot that they were been showing is he's got a big, you know, grin on his face the whole time he's doing it, you know, so.
Yeah, I never, ever was a huge Pronger fan because he played for the Flyers, first of all. But I think I changed my opinion after this weekend.
Right. Well, he's always been that kind of a player, but usually it's not tongue-in-cheek like that. Obviously, he didn't finish his check or Bieber wouldn't have gotten up, so.
That's true. That's very true. Yes. It was a fun weekend for the All-Star Game. Matter of fact, I got a message that said that the All-Star Game had gotten 74% more ratings than 2015.
Well, that's good. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with I think just the availability of it. And well, we got some questions on that later, so I won't steal too much thunder from that. But
exactly. Yeah, and surprisingly enough, it got more ratings than the NFL Pro Bowl, which surprised me.
Well, that's not
me,
really that.
There's
really
a lot of NFL
surprising.
Fans.
Right. Well, NFL ratings are down this year, and Pro Bowl is definitely one of those things that people don't watch. It's just because, you know, they don't really play, you know. And, you know, and as we'll talk about later, it appeared that they were trying a lot harder this year in the NHL, and I think that helped keep listeners, you know, viewers, as opposed to, you know, the Pro Bowl. It's like, okay, well, I'm done watching it now. I've seen the introductions, you know, and that's about it, you know. So I don't know.
And the skills challenge was actually fairly interesting to watch this year, the way that they had redid that. I know they took away the breakaway, which a lot of people were upset about, but I think they found a way to kind of bring the fans back in, even to the skills challenge. I mean, there was nothing more exciting than Mike Smith making a five-hole goal from 200 feet away.
Oh, exactly. And it was fun. And the way they had it packaged together with, you know, the whole, you know, the different sets of skills, you know, in a relay-style competition, I thought was kind of neat. I guess I wish on some of the things that the announcers would have been able to turn their mics off and actually, so we could actually watch what was going on instead of them talking to the player that just did it that we weren't able to watch.
Yeah, that was the only bad thing. I was surprised, you know, I really thought Austin Matthews had the accuracy challenge down when he went like 12 seconds because he was just swinging them and he hit those targets, and then you had Crosby come in and do it in 10 seconds. Like, wow. That's
right.
Just, wow. You know, but I thought he had it. Of course, Connor McDavid, for those who didn't watch the skills challenge, he got fastest skater. And he almost beat the record. The record's like at 13.1. I think he came in at 13.3. But we always think David is a speedster.
Right, exactly. Well, and he's going to be a force for a while. So,
right. Yep. So I do have to tell you, Jimmy, that the pond tournament was a big hit for us. And, you know, we have a question about that when we get to our mailbag section here in a little bit. But I just wanted, you know, I wanted to thank you guys for the feedback on that, because I kind of threw it in just to see how well, it went over, and B, you know, to let you guys know that, hey, there's more than just professional hockey. There's more than just college hockey. That if you live in the right spots, you have the opportunity to see these little pond tournaments that go on regionally. So, that was a huge hit for us, Jimmy.
Well, and it's fun. You know, and there's a lot more that goes on that's not as highly advertised. You know, you pretty much got to dig it up yourself to find it. But chances are that if you live in some place where it's cold and frozen, there's going to be a tournament somewhere near you that, you know, you can either go watch or try to get participate in if you can skate. So, something that I found to be pretty interesting and it just came up. They were talking about it yesterday during the Wild game against Edmonton, and Zach Parise had been taping his stick black tape ever since he'd basically been playing hockey. And he switched to white tape just because, I don't know what actually made him change to that or not, but he did score a goal last night with the white tape on his stick instead of the black tape. So, be curious to see if superstition carries him forward and he stays with the white tape now in tonight's game against Calgary.
Oh, yeah. That's
hockey,
right. You're actually
hockey players
missing
are very
the game.
Superstitious. Right. Well, I hadn't started yet, but it's close, so.
Right, definitely. So we are going to go ahead and jump into our mailbag segment here, Jimmy, because we had some really great questions that came in over the last week. The first question comes from Joshua, and he says, it seems like many hockey fans actually enjoyed the NHL All-Star game. Is this because there was nothing else on?
Well, I think we kind of touched on that a little bit. I mean, they were kind of, you know, right in the middle of the afternoon on Sunday when people are normally sitting around watching football and they're just sitting on their couches. And I think the skill, the fact that it was the 100th, you know, anniversary and all those players were there on Friday night, and they had kind of things going on all weekend that, you know, they normally don't. And because of the time that they were on, I think they were able to draw a lot more. And it was pretty entertaining hockey. You know, 3-on-3 is a lot of fun. This is a lot of open ice.
Right. That's what I liked about it. And, you know, to reaffirm what you just said, you know, I don't think it was because there was nothing else on. I think, you know, the 100-year players having the ceremony on Friday night, the skills challenge on Saturday, and then the games on Sunday, I think they just kind of built it up. And as much as they had built it up, it actually delivered this year. Because, and I think, you know, sorry to say, I think the kind of bromance is what they're calling it between Crosby and Ovechkin was a huge hit too. Because you and I talked about it last week, Crosby's only played in, this was only his second All-Star game that he's ever played in. So I think having those two and then Wayne Gretzky being their coach, I think that was like people wanted to tune in and see how the greatest rivalry right now in hockey was going to play out. Like, were they going to fight each other on the ice, or were they actually going to play, you know?
Well, they played in the offensive zone.
I laughed so hard about that.
Well, it's funny because they get the puck in their zone, and as soon as the Atlantic or the Pacific would get the puck away and you know, move it across the blue line, it's like, okay, well, here's a 2-on-0, here's a 2-on-1. Or 3-on-1 or whatever, because Ovechkin and Crosby don't know how to play defense, so they're not coming back to help out. So it's like they're probably heading to the bench for a change because it's like, oh, well, I'm a little bit tired and I don't want to play defense, so put somebody out there that wants to.
Right. And Ralph just messaged and said that there was a lot of social media coverage on this year's All-Star game. And with the celebrities sprinkled in, there was a lot more coverage than usual for it. So that probably drew in a lot of the fans, too.
Well, and hockey's making a comeback now. So they're getting, you know, they have their appointment nights now on NBC Sports Network. And, you know, they're even being covered by NBC, you know, a couple games a week. So they're getting a lot more exposure than they did. And they're basically doing it, you know, on a national level with, you know, with really good teams for the most part, you know. And, I mean, like tonight they had on Washington and Boston. I mean, those are two proven winning teams that, you know, people are going to want to – even your casual hockey fan are going to want to watch. So, you know, it all just kind of – one thing leads to the other. Mm-hmm. And they it just kind of keeps on growing ever since the strike season and when they lost the ESPN deal and all that kind of stuff. And it's one of those things where I think it will continue to grow more and more as, you know, as the years go by.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good point too. And, you know, I'll bring up another point. Ralph also said that it was because it was in Hollywood too. So they pulled out all the stops this year because it was the 100 year and it, you know, they made it big. But, you know, once you watched it, and like you said, the games were good. They weren't just, you know, let's see who can break away and score on the goalie. They actually had fun. They were smiling. They were acting like they really enjoyed being there. And most of them probably did.
Well, and it's different from the old All-Star games, too, where you'd watch it and be, you know, be 5-on-5 and, you know, they pretend to check or they pretend to do this or pretend to do that. And, you know, there's just too many bodies out on the ice to do that. But when you're going 3-on-3, you know, then there's a lot of open ice and a lot of areas. And, I mean, there's no time for checking. So they didn't pretend that they were or weren't. So, and I think that made it a lot more fun and just seeing some of the combinations like you're talking about, like with Ovechkin and Crosby, and then you watch, you know, a lot of the different other, you know, line combinations that were out there together in the, for the different teams. And it was very interesting.
Right. And I apologize. My dog is in the background here. And speaking of dogs, if you didn't know, the reason why Tortorelli wasn't able to make and be the coach of the All-Star game was because he is a very big dog lover, and one of his dogs was sick. So he decided that it was in the best interest of his family. It's actually his son's dog who's in the Special Forces in the United States military. And he felt that in the best interest that he should take the All-Star break off and go home with his dog. So I haven't heard any more on that story, but, you know, I love those little hockey stories like that. You know, it definitely doesn't just portray to what's on the ice. I mean, he's probably one of the most disliked coaches in the league, but when you read the off, you know, the off-the-ice story, he really is a big dog lover, and for him to take time away from the sport to be with his family and especially his kid, his dog, you know, that definitely it brings him into a whole different life. So, but, you know, I just wanted to add that in. But that was a great question, Joshua. Sticking with the All-Star game, Jimmy, we have another question that comes from Hannah. She wanted to know, what did you enjoy or dislike about the All-Star game?
Well, like I said, I like the open ice format. I thought that was fun. It still seemed like, you know, that the most of the players, you know, for the most part, were kind of just more concentrating on playing in the offensive zone and not necessarily really getting back. And it kind of left the goaltenders out to dry, you know. It seemed like, you know, the public address announcer was announcing the goal while the horn was going off for the next goal. You know,
especially in that first game between the Central and the Pacific Division, they would have been better off, I think, starting Dubnyk and then bringing in, you know,
I don't think it, Ian Crawford, but I don't think it really mattered. They didn't have a whole lot of chance. Dubnyk came in and tried, you know, he saved the first couple, 3-4, and then he realized that, you know, this is just pepper the goalie time. So he's like, well, okay, well, if it hits me, it hits me. If not, I'm not going to pull something trying to make a fantastic save. Exactly.
Yeah, I actually was giving Jimmy a hard time while we were watching the All-Star game. We were messaging back and forth, and I was giving him a hard time. I was like, man, Central Division looks weak, weaker than they really are. But he was teasing me that, that was just an All-Star game. It didn't count. It didn't matter. But,
right.
Hey, the Metro won. That's bragging rights, right?
Yeah, I guess. Bragging rights for what? I don't know, but.
Yep. But me personally, I don't think there was anything that I did dislike about the All-Star game this year. Everything was set up so nicely. My favorite part was, besides, you know, watching the games and watching the Metro Division win, my favorite part of it was in the Skills Challenge, and I believe it was like the Team Challenge. They had like different stations set up, and, you know, the guys had to make the five different shots in the little teeny tiny nets. That was hilarious. That was the hardest challenge. And then you had at the end of it, you had your, basically like your best hands, puck control is what I'm trying to think of. And so to watch those guys do that and just watch their hand and puck work, it was surreal. Like, it was so much fun to watch them do it in a non-game format so that you could actually just really see how they do control the puck. So that was probably one of my favorites.
Well, and a lot of that kind of stuff is the stuff that they normally do during practices or, well, you know, their own personal practices and that kind of thing, where they're, you know, trying to hit a specific spot, you know, like you're saying about the five little net things. I mean, I found that to be fascinating, too, because you have some of these guys that are some of the best, you know, passers in the game, and they can't hit that. And it's like, but then, you know, then you start to watch them, and you can see that some of them were just getting overly stressed about the fact that they couldn't hit it. So then it got worse.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And they had to go over that barrier, too, which made it even more difficult.
Right.
The guys, they when they make it, you're kind of, like, relieved for them. It's like, oh, my gosh, finally. And then I had to laugh at Drew Doughty. His comment, they were like, which team do you want to play in the finals? And he goes, whichever one the Penguins are in, that way I can beat Sid. And I just started laughing because I was like, here you are, a hockey player, and you can't think of the division right now. That shows you in the moment there, you're really not thinking. So, but,
right.
You know, I like Drew Doughty. I think he's a great player. One of the things, you know, since before we get into the All-Star or get out of the All-Star questions here, one of the things that I've been seeing on social media, Wayne Simmonds won the MVP for the All-Star. And a lot of Philadelphia Flyer fans, and especially my friend Jeff, is very vocal on this. And he believes, and a lot of other people do too, that Claude Giroux should not be the captain of that team. They really think that Wayne Simmonds should be because of his caliber of player that he is and, you know, just the way he kind of handles himself. But, you know, I looked and I actually talked to Jimmy about this before the show and we both were kind of giggling about it, not because he is a great player, but he leads the Flyers in scoring, but also in penalty minutes. So, Jimmy, I'll let you kind of explain how you told me about that too.
Well, and the thing of it is you know, your player's the captain, but that doesn't mean he's your best player. It means that he's the one that goes out there and leads by example, leads in the locker room, leads on the bench, and he's also the person that can talk to the referee. Well, if he's spending half of the game, you know, not half of the game, but you know what I mean. He's spending, you know, if he's getting all these penalties and doing all these things, when he goes to try to bend the ear of the referee to try to maybe get a call his way or complain about something that happened against his team, they're just not going to listen. You know, they're going to go, well, you know, you're a dirty player, and you know, we're not going to listen to you. So until he straightens up that part of that aspect of his game, I don't really see him, you know, as the captain, you know, maybe give him an alternate or whatever, you know, just to, you know, appease some of the fans. But, you know, you look at the captains, you know, throughout the teams, throughout the, you know, the NHL, and they're not necessarily the best player on the team, but they're the player that can motivate the rest of the team and also can, you know, discuss things in a calm manner with the referees. And that's
right.
Kind of their
and
job.
And he is a very emotional player, but that's what makes him so good, too. His emotion carries over.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't a good
life.
Player. That's,
no,
you know,
no.
Being a good
I know,
player and being a captain
are
two different things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think I was joking with you when we had talked about this earlier, and I was like, well, you got Ovechkin who can lead the league or lead his team in scoring and also in penalty minutes, but that's a different type of player, too. So. But,
well,
I just thought
his,
that was interesting.
His are more of the slashing variety. And, you know, I mean, he's when Ovechkin is actually able to take penalties, that's almost a good thing for him. It kind of, you know, wakes him up and puts him in the game. So he's not taking the boarding calls and the roughing calls and those kinds of things like Simmonds is.
Right. And you're right. You're exactly right on that. You know, like I said, he's a different type of hockey player than what Ovechkin is, but, you know, I was impressed with his goal scoring in the All-Star game. I mean, I've seen him in games many, many times, but he just kind of, he always tends to take it to that extra level to just be a crowd pleaser when it comes to a stage like that. So it was just a lot of fun, and I'm glad, you know, the people who listen to us, and from what my text messages, you know, up 74%, that goes to show you that, hey, the NHL can pull in their ratings when they need to. So it's great to see hockey getting some love finally. But so we're going to switch gears here. And this question actually goes specifically for you. And this is from Mandy. And she wants to know, Jimmy, the Wisconsin women's team seems to be unbeatable. Is their schedule easier than everyone else's?
Well, yeah, their schedule is easier than everybody else's because they don't have to play Wisconsin. you know, they're clearly the best team in hockey. You know, they only lost a couple of games this year. You know, they lost. I remember the Gophers went down to Kohl Center and beat them down there when they were doing their big attendance draw thing. You know, they had like 15,000 people during those two games. As far as the actual schedule of Wisconsin, they have a test at the end of the season. They play number two Duluth, the second to last week of the year, and then they play number four Minnesota the last week of the year at Ritter in Minnesota. So that will be a bigger test for them. But I mean, they're just better than everybody else. I mean, everybody else is just trying to compete. And, you know, if you have a really good night and they have a bad night, then maybe you have a chance. But they're just so much better than everybody else that it has nothing to do with their schedule. They just happen to be, you know, the better team and far and away the better team. And, you know, if you look at women's, you know, women's college hockey, you know, from its inception, which, you know, hasn't been that many years, most of the tournaments have been won by Wisconsin or Minnesota or Minnesota Duluth. And I think the only one out of those three that has ever won the NCAA tournament is Clarkson. And they're sitting at number three this year. So you're looking at, you know, a WCHA conference that is pretty heavily stacked. You know, if you look at the RPI and pairwise, or actually the RPI and, you know, strength of schedule, and St. Cloud State, who is like seventh in the conference for, and then the WCHA has like the fourth hardest strength of schedule of anybody in the country, just because they have to play Duluth and Wisconsin and Minnesota. So, to make a short story long, Wisconsin is just clearly that much better than everybody else. And it's top to bottom on their roster.
Yeah. That's actually one of the only women's game I have ever watched was a Wisconsin game. They are really, really good. There's just no other way to put it. They have, I believe, two losses total this year. Yes, they are 24-2-1. So they have 150 points. That's good, because, like, number 10 has 22 points, and that's
right.
Quinnipiac. So, yeah, when you if you ever get to stream or watch live a Wisconsin women's hockey game, you will be amazed. The talent level on that team is just those girls know how to play hockey and well. But they also have a good coach, too.
Mm-hmm. That's Mark Johnson, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Who I think you know his dad is Badger Bob from Pittsburgh.
I do. Yes,
so
I do.
There's a pretty good lineage there too. So.
Definitely. That's why I said they have a really good coach. Just to kind of break in here for a moment, if anybody wants to call in and join our discussion, our number here is 646-668-8467. Don't be afraid to call in. We don't bite. I swear we don't. the next question is again for you, Jimmy. I think they like you better last week than me.
Whatever.
It says, thank you for the pond tournament information. Since Jimmy is from Minnesota, are there any other tournaments we should be paying attention to that are not on the pro level?
Well, there's a lot of them. You know, you can follow USA Hockey or follow the International Ice Hockey. You know, they both have websites that, you know, different international tournaments that are always going on that kind of sneak under the radar. That's usually your boys and girls teams, your 16 and unders, 18 and unders, you know, 20 and unders, juniors, that kind of stuff that go on a lot. But there are more pond hockey tournaments than you would think, and they're in different places. And, you know, if you live in some place where it's cold, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have a pond hockey tournament. One of the bigger, organizations that does this is the Pond Hockey Classics. Right now, this coming up this weekend, it's the New England Pond Hockey Classic. That's actually being played in Meredith, New Hampshire. And that's a lot of fun. You know, I think they got like 16 or so rinks, and they really go after it up there. And it's a lot of fun. So it's this weekend. So if you live in the New England area and are tired of the Patriots in the Super Bowl, then, you know, go out and watch some pond hockey up in New Hampshire, because it'll be a lot of fun. They usually are. It's all about the social aspect of it all, and people having a lot of fun. And it's not as cold as you think it is, so it's not all that
right.
Bad. There's another one that's scheduled for up in Sudbury, this weekend. Sudbury is in Ontario, Canada, and the irony of that is that it's been too warm up in Canada for them to be able to play it outdoors. So what they're gonna actually do is they're gonna play it outdoors, but instead of playing it on rinks, they're gonna actually play boot hockey, where they're actually running around on concrete and playing it that way. Where the game will still be played the same way, but instead of being on ice, they'll be on concrete. So that'll be a little different.
Nice. And you actually played boot hockey too, growing up.
Yeah, we played boot hockey on the ice, though. We didn't play street hockey as much. But
right.
That's kind of what this is. This would be street hockey. And, you know, who knows if it works out well and they can promote it. Maybe maybe street hockey tournaments will start to pop up in different places where it's, you know, warmer environments. So, you know, there's been a couple of times now where these tournaments. You know, I know one in Minnesota that was supposed to be on Lake Minnetonka ended up being a street hockey tournament. So, you know, when the weather's like this, you know, you can't skate where you can't have ice. So they move it to that, you know, to the street hockey environment. And, you know, people still have fun doing it, and they still have fun watching it. So.
Right. And, you know, that's great that they're still keeping it outdoors. Because I know at one point when we had talked about this, that you said there was a potential of them moving it indoors. But I think it's great that they're keeping it outdoors. That's definitely, that kind of keeps the feel of how pond hockey is supposed to be.
Right. Well, and that was one of the biggest reasons that the sheer numbers of the people, because they figured that when they weren't going to play it outdoors, they were going to lose a lot of the teams. But, they couldn't actually play the games indoor, so they switched to the outdoor, you know, street hockey environment. So,
right.
So now coming up the following weekend, which would be February 10th through the 12th, the Pond Hockey Classic is going to be played in Lake Champlain, which is on Mallets Bay in Colchester, Vermont. So that's another opportunity for people to get out in that area. That one's sponsored by Labatt's Blue, so you know what's going to happen at that tournament. So that'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, the a lot of the stuff you can just, you know, you can find on the Google and the different places on the web, so you can find out, you know, how to get tickets and all that kind of stuff. Most of these at this point, it's too late to sign up for them, but you can get involved so that your team is set for next year if that's something that you want to do. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of people that, you know, are playing. They have different age groups. They have different divisions, you know, skill level divisions. And, you know, And they go all the way down to the kids. The kids play, too, and it's a lot of fun. So if you get a chance to go see it, go see it, because it's something that's different and definitely a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wish we had something like that out here. However, I did find out, which is really cool, since we're talking about non-professional hockey games and tournaments and stuff, I found out that here in my hometown, they actually have a ice hockey league. It's played at the skating rink, and of course, anywhere else would it be played, but it's in our local skating rink. And one of my coworkers is actually a goalie there. So hopefully when their season ends, I can get them to call in and talk some non-pro hockey with us. I think that would be great. But, yeah, I was surprised to find out that we had this little league that, you know, I am from Frederick, Maryland. So, you know, for us to have a hockey league is something you never hear of. So I'm definitely going to try to catch one of their games coming up here shortly just to see, you know, how it goes on. Just because it's new and different and it's hockey related. But yeah, I mean, you might want to check around, like if you have a local skating rink too, to find out if maybe you guys have a league around you, if you're not from, you know, Canada or Minnesota or, you know, somewhere up more up north than what we are here in Maryland. But that, you know, if you're interested, you could probably try to find a skating rink and see if they have tournaments or even if they have a league. I know we have an adults league and a children's league. So I'm going to try to go check out a couple of those games. But we are going to go ahead and take our first set of commercial breaks here, and we will return shortly.
Detroit Rock City Promotions, everything you need for your party, wedding, show, or event. DJ services, tent setup, table and chairs, mobile stages, sound and lighting, photography, on-staff reverend. Book DRCP Army today at 810-627-9773. That number again is 810-627-9773. Or find us on the web at DetroitRockCityPromotions.com.
Big Worm Customs is a company that does it all, from design services to home improvements to vehicle customization, all at great prices and payment options.
Call now for your free estimate, 248-595-6618, 248-595-6618, or online at facebook.com/bigwormcustoms.
All right, we are back. If you wanted to join our conversation, our telephone number here is 646-668-8467. You can message me on Facebook, you can message the page on Facebook, or tweet us. I'll get it, read your comment on live on air. So that was a great question from Alex about the pond tournament, Jimmy. So we have another one that's for you, and it says, the Army Air Force game this past weekend with first place on the line was an exciting series. Do these two teams meet often for first place, or was that a rare occasion? And then the second part of Patrick's question is, how does this boost Air Force for the tournament in March?
Well, that's a really good question. And it's something that came up actually when during the Army-Navy game, football game. And that's when we really started to look at the fact that the Black Knights were actually playing, which is the Army team, were actually playing really well this year. And that's something that doesn't typically happen. They're usually not that good of a team, and they usually don't play that well. Air Force, meanwhile, Air Force plays pretty well, and usually they dominate that. But for the majority of this of the season, or at least after the first few weeks, it's been Air Force and Army at the top of that, you know, at Atlantic Conference, and you know it should be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it should be. And it's kind of like, I guess, when these two teams play, it's kind of like when they get the Commanders in Chief trophy from college football. But, yeah, I'm a former Air Force wife, so I was interested to see Air Force actually won this. So they are in first place right now. So I'm very excited about that. But how do you think this is going to do for Air Force going in? Do you think they're going to make the tournament? How do you feel they're going to do?
Well, it's tough. I mean, they're playing well, but that conference isn't up to speed with, say, like, you know, the NCHC or the WCHA even, or, you know, they're pretty much the only way they're going to get in is to win the conference tournament. So what this does is it sets them up better to win that. Obviously, I mean, the higher seed you are, the better chance you have of winning the tournament. But as far as Glee, you know, I mean, it's really not going to push them up that high in the pairwise as far as, you know, getting them in on a at-large bid. So either one of these, both of these teams won't make it. But, you know, Air Force pretty much has the advantage because they've been there. Army's never been to the tournament. So, you know, but, you know, and I suppose, you know, the way they have had some pretty good wins this year against conference teams. So, I guess you can't rule them out, and I think it'd be a really good story if they went. You know, Air Force seems to go every other year, so doesn't get very far, but at least gets into the tournament. So I know, Kimmy, you'd like Air Force to go again, but, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have. And in thinking about it, you know, I know this is just my own personal side point of view, but, you know, I think the Army needs more hockey players and more hockey mentality. The whole, you know, not that they don't necessarily have that mentality, but, you know, a hockey player, you know, well, I can still skate, I'm still playing, you know.
Right.
In that whole in the foxhole kind of deal when it's life and death instead of just playing for hockey, I think that mentality can play over pretty well.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, it can definitely transpose well. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I would like to see Air Force go, but if Army has never been, that would be kind of cool to see them go, too. It's kind of like in other sports, if your team doesn't go, you kind of like to see different teams go. So, you know, we wish them both the best of luck because I know they're playing their hearts out, that's for sure.
Well, and that's always one of the fun tournaments to watch, too, because, you know, postseason tournaments to watch because they're going all out. I mean, that's their only chance. You know, you look at the NCHC when they're playing, and, you know, you got Denver, you've got Duluth, and you've got, you know, North Dakota, you know, teams that are probably going to make it, you know, win or lose, they're most likely going to be in, you know. So not saying that they don't try as hard, but they're playing more for pride and hardware than they are to get in the tournament. Whereas, you know, the teams from the Atlantic, they're playing, that's their only shot to get in. So, you know, there's a little more aggression out on the ice in those tournaments and leading up to those tournaments so they can get better seedings. So,
right, exactly. So we're going to flip back here to NHL real quick because our last question comes from Jen. And this is actually a question that I can actually answer, so I'm very excited. but she said, with Murray struggling for the Penguins and so many injuries, what is your assessment on why Sullivan will not go with Fleury? First of all, I just think he's got something against him. No kidding. I truly think that by March 1st, which is the trade deadline, Fleury will no longer be a Penguin. And if not, I've heard rumors. Now, there's nothing confirmed. I've not heard anything confirmed. Let me just put that out there. This has not been confirmed. But I've heard a rumor that if Fleury cannot be traded before the trade deadline, that they will buy out his contract at the end of the season, because he has that no-move clause. So that kind of makes it a little tricky. But, yeah, it's kind of funny that you brought this question up, Jen, because, you know, I follow a page called The Angry Penguin Fans. And the guy had posted right before the All-Star break when the Penguins played the Bruins. And he was like, Murray gets the start and goal again while Fleury sits and rusts on the bench. And I kind of was like, and he did like a whole vet post about it. So it's becoming very noticeable. You still have those Penguin fans that think Murray is the beginning and the end of everything. And Then you have some older school Penn fans that are just like, you know, give him a chance. But from what I've read and I've heard, Sullivan is playing Murray more to get him his confidence because he's had some bad games. You know, when usually when your goalie lets up seven goals, you're usually yanking him by then. But, you know, he made him finish out the Washington Capitals game and gave up seven goals. But, you know, he's had a couple of rough starts. And last night, everybody can say, oh, yeah, Murray was great, Murray was great. Yeah, the Penguins' defense was good last night. Chris Letang was back. So they were blocking a lot more shots than he was seeing. So while he was playing well, he played well last night, I'll put it that way. But there's still something that bothers me about him, and I can't quite put my finger on it. So that's what I've heard, Jen. Now, Jimmy, I'll let you go ahead and take this question as well.
Well, there's a lot of I agree with most of what you're saying. And there's a lot of politics that come into play this time of year when you have the expansion draft coming up, too. And you have to worry about, you know, not only this year, but who are you going to lose? So, you know, if the Penguins hang on to Fleury, then they're going to have to put Murray unprotected, and you know there's no chance to, you know, that the Knights are going to take him. So they would lose him that way. So what I've heard bounced around is that the possibility of a trade with St. Louis, who needs a goaltender because. But Allen's not playing very well, or at least not to the extent that they thought he was. You know, there is another situation where you had the young kid goaltender, and then you had the more of the veteran player. So let's let the veteran player go, and now suddenly the young kid can't handle the being the number one, and your team is suffering because of it. So I think that St. Louis would you know definitely be in the market to try to get Fleury. And they're not really happy with Shattenkirk, and they know they're not going to sign him at the end of the season, you know, for next year. So that's probably a decent trade for both sides because Pittsburgh definitely needs defense, and St. Louis could use a good goaltender, good number one goaltender. That's my thinking on it. And my thinking on it is one of two things with them playing Murray now is. They're either Fleury is nursing some sort of minor injury that they don't want to release or don't want him to get hurt, or they're just trying to work this trade through before he, you know, maybe gets hurt or what have you. So that's my thought.
Yeah, that's a really good point, you know, and I hear this all the time. I always hear, I can't believe you're not sold on Murray. He's a Stanley Cup champion. Yeah, Fleury's a two-time Stanley Cup champion, so why aren't you sold on him? That's what I always ask. And their thing is, well, Murray's younger, he's cheaper. I get that. I understand the politics behind it. But what I don't kind of understand is, you know, how people can't see the obvious weaknesses when it comes to Matt Murray. Jimmy and I have talked about this over and over again, and Jimmy will turn on a game, a Penguins game, and he'll message me, and he'll be like, let me guess, high stick side. And I'm like, exactly. You know, you don't have to guess on that one. You kind of know. But, you know, I think Jimmy had a great point there when he said that they are trying to see if Murray is going to be able to handle the starting goalie reps and the amount of games that they play. Remember, before the playoffs, he had just came up during the Rangers game during the playoffs. And, you know, for those that may not know, there's a third goalie that could be thrown into the mix, and that's Tristan Jarry, and he's down in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And so he actually just played goalie in the All-Star game and shut down the other conference. So he's one to keep an eye on, too, in this whole mix. You know, if it works out, if Fleury does have to leave the Penguins, it would be nice to get a good shutdown defenseman, somebody that truly plays defense, not a forward that plays defense, or, you know, a two-way player. It would just be nice to have a shutdown defenseman for him. So, but that was a great question. I'm glad not the only one that was noticing that. So I'm glad you brought that up, Jen. So, Jimmy, while we are on the topic of the Blues, because you had just mentioned Shattenkirk and the Blues there, Ken Hitchcock, unemployed as of today.
Yeah, I don't stand that. Like I was saying, their biggest issue is goaltending. And until they can solve that riddle, and I don't know that Mike Yeo is going to be able to do that. I mean, that's their biggest concern, is they don't have a number two goaltender to go to. And their number one is just not, he's a good number two. And that's why he did so well last year, is he didn't have the pressure of being the number one goaltender. And you can see it this year that he can't play on a regular basis and be as effective as he can when, you know, only has to make a start or two a week. So the fact that they let Hitchcock go, I mean, there was rumors of that before the All-Star game, that they would do that because they already have Yo in place. I just don't know what this is actually going to do for them, you know. And
right.
You're letting go one of the legends of you know, coaching legends. And to me, I don't have a lot of respect for the St. Louis franchise as it is, and now I have even less. So,
you know, I think what really hit me the hardest with it is the fact that Hitchcock said after last year when they lost in the playoffs, he said he was coming back for one more year. So why couldn't they keep him for the full season? I mean, just to can him. He was one win away from tying third all time. How crazy is that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I think had they let him finish out the season, you know, win, lose, or draw at the end of the year, I think that he would have been done. But, you know, now
right.
I think he's got more of the mentality where maybe he will coach again just to prove that he can.
Right. Yeah, and you know who's looking for a coach? The Islanders just fired their coach, but the Islanders are doing a lot better since they fired their coach. So, but Florida is another one that could use a coach, or even the new team, the Golden Knights, or Las Vegas Golden Knights, yes. So,
yeah,
you know,
I don't think they've named a coach out there yet, or at least if they have, it hasn't made a big splash. So,
no, they haven't yet. The last I read on that was actually that they were going to wait until after the trade deadline to name a head coach so that they could start making moves early. So, we'll see how that works out. And, you know, it's funny because I had heard that the trade deadline was February 28th, and then I read something on NHL Network this past, or NHL.com this past week, that said it was March 1st, and I'm like, okay, so March 1st is the actual date. I was a little confused on that because I was like, wait a second, I read it was February 28th. But, yeah, that's coming up. So there's already been a couple of minor moves. I believe Dallas and the Avalanche have traded some minor league players, but nothing big yet. And of course, you know, I try to post it to our Facebook page and Twitter when something big happens. So, you know, just keep an eye on that too. But yeah, it should get pretty interesting here within the next 2-3 weeks with trades.
Yeah, well,
and
like, you know, we were talking about too, with the fact that with the expansion draft, people are going to be trading players that they normally wouldn't trade just because they want to set themselves up to keep whoever they can keep. You know, I mean, if you're holding a contract with a guy that's, you know, has a no trade contract or no movement contract or what have you, you may not want to hang on to that guy, and you may want to release him if you can.
Right. Yep. we're going to take a break here, Jimmy, and take our next commercial break and, you know, give everybody a chance if they want to call in some 646-668-8467.
The water in Flint, Michigan is making people sick. You want to help? Flint Stock Productions needs your assistance. Flint Stock Productions is a nonprofit organizing several events that help children affected by the water crisis in Flint. The funding assists doctor and medical costs not covered by insurance and also replaces contaminated appliances of Flint residents. Flint Stock 2016 is dedicated to maintaining clean water in their community. Visit flintstock2016.com. Again, that's flintstock2016.com.
Bob's Big Bend Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Bend Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Bend Bowling.
Okay, guys, we are back. Again, that number to call in is 646-668-8467. So we were just talking about the firing of Ken Hitchcock in St. Louis, and, you know, we had just been discussing how things, you know, he was scheduled to retire at the end of the season, and, you know, it's kind of sad that he had to go out that way. But, yeah, you know, if you're just catching up with us, he was one win away from being third all-time head coach wins, and wins, I should say. So that's definitely, you know, it's kind of disheartening. And I kind of looked at the Blues article today when that happened, and the Blues fans were talking about, you know, this is just par for the course. Get used to losing if you're a Blues fan. Get used to disappointment if you're a Blues fan. And I know, Jimmy, there's no love lost between you and the Blues, so, you know, we can move on.
Yeah, well, you know, in the irony of the whole situation is if you look at it, okay, so now Mike Yeo's the coach of St. Louis. Well, he was the one that was let go by the Wild last year. Well, this year the Wild are in first place and in the West overall, and the Blues are the number two wild card team. So, I mean, if the season ended right now, Mike Yeo would be coming with his St. Louis Blue team up to play the Wild that he coached up at this point in the season last year. So kind of ironic, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's very ironic. Also, you know, just to let you know, I just got something that came through on my text messages. Apparently, Patrice Bergeron took a pretty bad hit tonight, and they're calling it a knee injury, so that'll be something to keep an eye out on. I, of course, didn't get to finish watching the Capitals game because that's what I was actually watching before the show started. But he was helped off the ice. It was a shot that hit his knee. So he was able to return. Okay, I'm just kind of looking at the article that just came through. But he was able to return, but, you know, sometimes you're able to come right back and then you end up missing a couple of games because we all know Gino left – or. He ended up finishing playing on the Blues game, and then he didn't come back for the Bruins game, and he's still not back from his knee-to-knee hit. So we'll see how that works out. That'll be something for especially Boston Bruin fans to check out and keep an eye on. Of course, now that we're in the midst of things, it's definitely the time where you're going to start seeing injuries a little bit more because as you're racing more towards the finals and playoffs and stuff like that, games are going to get a lot more physical.
Well, they're going to get a lot more physical. Plus, you're playing with more of a compressed schedule now toward the end of the year.
Right.
And I don't know why they set it up that way. But I guess maybe it's more exciting with football out of the way and before baseball starts, you know, they can kind of get more market share or something. But it seems like every team is playing just about every other day. So, you know, I know the Wild is that way. And I know there's quite a few other teams that are that way that, you know, they seem to be set up where they're playing, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, every week. So, which, you know, as a fan, I like the fact there's always a game on, but, you know, realistically, it's not, you know, not that good for the club because you just don't get any breaks. So, and that's why, you know,
especially your team after they come off their bye week. They're killing the Wild in March. You guys get, like, what, 2 days off a week?
Yeah, if that. And that's actually started now, too. So,
right.
But it's where – this is where you rely more on your depth, and that's where a team like Minnesota is good. You know, you figure that they led the Western Conference in scoring – going into the All-Star break, but yet didn't have a single forward that was in the All-Star game. So that tells you it's definitely a team effort, and you know they have they can score from all four of their lines. And you know, like Boudreaux says, they don't have a number one line; they just have four checking lines. So and their defense, you know, their defensive core is really good. So you know, that's where you have depth, and that's where you know, you can plan for, you know, back-to-backs and things like that by resting certain players in certain situations in certain games, because you don't have to rely on just one or two players, you know, or even just one or two lines for your scoring. So it's just a matter of whether or not the goaltending can hold up. So, you know, San Jose is the same way. They're set up, you know, top to bottom. They're a pretty good team. You know, there's a few teams like that. Chicago hasn't made their move yet. They typically make their move, you know, right around the trade deadline, where they go out and sign like three or four players and then make their run to, you know, winning the Stanley Cup. So, you know, I haven't counted them out yet.
You never do, and you never can. Not Chicago.
Nope.
Now, I have to tell you, because you were talking about, you know, how the Wild didn't have a single forward in the All-Star game. My friend Tay, who was actually on this show earlier, last year, actually, probably December-ish, but she plays hockey FanDuel, and she is just so excited because she got Ryan Suter. So she's very excited about that. But, you know, you're right. You know, as we get closer to the trade deadline, you're going to start seeing these teams that are either, A, going to make the playoffs or have a really great chance of making the playoffs start to make a push for that one player that's going to take them over into that playoff and potentially to that finals. So, but yeah, that was a great point with Chicago. You can never count them out at all, ever.
Well, and to your point, you know, you look at the Eastern Conference, and you know, just about every team has a realistic chance of making the wild card. You know, there's only a couple points separating, you know, one from ten in that aspect. So that's going to be very, very interesting to see who makes what moves. And, you know, who decides to go after it, who doesn't, you know, does Toronto stay the pace that they're going at, you know, we're going to build slowly, we're not going to give up on our talent, or do they go, hey, you know what, we can get in the playoffs this year if we do this and this, you know, you know, I mean, Toronto's got in that unique situation where they've got three different players on their team that have been named Rookie of the Month. And I mean, that just never happens. So if they can just be patient this year and keep everybody intact, same thing with Edmonton, if they can just keep everybody intact, then, you know, they have a pretty good chance of being relevant for quite a long period of time. Whereas, you know, your other teams get older, you know, they'll be sitting there with the young talent, and you know, whereas your Pittsburghs and your Washingtons and your Chicago's and your San Jose's get old, and obviously Minnesota get old. The younger you can keep your team now, and not try to push it too fast, too far, or too far, too fast. You know, the better off,
right,
I think a lot of these teams are going to be.
Exactly. You know, and speaking of good teams, Alex Ovechkin tonight scored his 550th goal.
That's crazy.
And he moves to 27th on the all-time list. How crazy is that? And he's still probably another 5 to 10 years left.
Yeah, another 5 at least, really good years. And
yeah.
And then, and he's not getting cheap goals.
he's really good at
shooting from the dots or above the dots. I mean, he could still muck it up and get a couple cheap ones inside like a lot of people do, but you know, he hasn't moved down there. He's still that, you know, oh gosh, I don't, you know, don't let him get that shot, because you know, if he shoots from that left dot, you know, that puck's probably going in the net, because the goaltender's not going to have a chance unless the defenseman gets hit by the puck. So, yeah, he's
you actually saw that shot tonight when Washington was on a power play, and he just sniped it in the net. Tuukka Rask had no idea where that puck was. And I think he was still looking for it after they started their little they don't really do a goal horn in Washington. They kind of do a siren instead. So when the siren went off, he was still kind of looking around like, where did that go? But, yeah, he just kind of rifled it past.
Well, and the thing with Ovechkin, too, is he doesn't necessarily have the hardest shot, but he has such a quick release that they don't even, you know, the goaltender doesn't know it's coming until it's already right on him, you know, and that makes, you know, he can't get in the right position, you know, whereas, you know, a guy that, you know, can hit a heavy slap shot or whatever, you know, the goaltender can see it coming and try to get in the right spot of the angle of, you know, where it's going to be and hopefully, you know, make himself big so hopefully it hits him. Whereas, you know, with Ovechkin, you just don't have that chance. He just, you know, fires the puck so quickly that, you know, goaltender just goes, well, okay, where did it go?
Right. Yeah. And then I wanted to mention another great achievement that happened yesterday, I believe. Corey Perry from the Anaheim Ducks, he hit another milestone. He has 700 points.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, a lot of these milestones are being hit, especially in this time and age when they're talking about how scoring is down. But, you know, I guess I don't see a whole lot of that with the way things are transpiring this year. It seems to be a lot of high-scoring games, so.
Right. Unless you're a Wild fan and then you're know when you're up 2-0, you're usually likely to win the game. Giving you a hard time about that.
They're down 2-0 right now, so I don't know if that's going to take place in this game. So.
Wait, wasn't the last time you were shut out was in November by the same Calgary Flames?
Yeah, it was November 15th, and it's been like 35 games since the Wild have been shut out. So, you know, it was, you know, on the Canadian trip, so the Canadian three-step. Although for us, it always seems to just be a tour of Canada because we got to add Winnipeg in. Last time we added Toronto and Winnipeg in, but we only play Toronto once a year, so. We won't be going to any of the Eastern, but we're definitely on the tour of the Western Conference Canadian team now.
Right. Hey, my team starts that Western Conference trek as the next. They play the Blue Jackets next, and then the next 6 games are all against Western Conference teams. So some
of
them
I'm sure you've got the Coyotes and you've got the Avalanche.
We have the Coyotes and the Avalanche, so yay.
It's a couple of nice gimme games there probably, but you never know.
You never know. So. Sometimes those gimme games are the ones that scare the heck out of you anyway. So.
Right. Well, they call them trap games or what have you. So going to thinking you can just show up and lace them up and you're going to win, and They go, oh, no, we have another idea we'd like to play too. So.
Right. And, you know, we're going to go ahead here and switch into college hockey. But before we do, I do have to say the University of North Dakota's T.J. Oshie had a heck of a goal tonight. And, you know, usually when it's Oshie and the goalie, Oshie's going to win that. But it was just, it was a beautiful pass from Backstrom to Oshie, and he took it down, and he just scored a beautiful goal for the very first goal. So wanted to just give props to the University of North Dakota there. So going into college hockey here for the remainder of our show, I do want to bring up, and we will definitely spend more time on this next week, but the women's college hockey All-Star game is next weekend. So,
not the college hockey, but the women's professional hockey.
So that's right, the women's professional hockey. And if you're regular hockey fan, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the thing of it is, they set it up with two captains, and the two captains basically drafted. I mean, there's not that many teams that play in the WNHL. The two captains are pretty notable, and the one, of course, that's most notable is Amanda Kessel, which, you know, most people know her brother.
Right.
And it should be fun. It should be good hockey. The game last year was a lot of fun to watch. It's hard to find. You have to look for it, but it's out there. And
I will try to find information on it to link where it's streamed. For those that may not get it on TV or anything like that. So I will definitely keep an eye on our Facebook and Twitter. I'll definitely take care of that for you guys. But I just
earlier we were talking about the women's college hockey in Wisconsin and their dominance. And I had brought up St. Cloud State and how difficult it was to play in the WCHA. And I actually looked up the Paradise rankings, and they're actually 27th, called St. Cloud State is, but they have the number one strength of schedule, having to play against Wisconsin and Minnesota Duluth and Minnesota and North Dakota on a regular basis. So, you know, I guess hats off to them for, you know, not completely getting their butts kicked, but you know, when you have that strength of schedule, you know, chances are you're not going to play very well.
Right.
Just not, you know.
That's a good point. So, Jimmy, you want to talk about the big shakeup on the men's side? Every week it's kind of like we're always like, okay, you know, well, maybe this will stay the same for a little bit in the rankings. But, yeah, no, it never does. So
no, it never does. And it's back to funny how, you know, we were talking when, you know, we were discussing this, you know, I don't know how many months ago. You know, Duluth is on top in November, and Denver is number two, and that kind of is back to where they were before. And, you know, they're clearly the two best teams in the country. And it's funny how, you know, the route they've taken to get back up to where they were. And there again, you know, that conference is so good that, you know, there's no such thing as an off week. You know, you play in the sixth or seventh best team in that conference, and they're probably going to be the best team in, you know, two or three other conferences just because of how good they are. But when you get beat down every week, you know, by the better teams, as opposed to being able to play the inferior teams, then, you know, it kind of shows in your win loss record, and people don't realize how good you actually are. So, that's the shame of playing in high powered conferences.
Oh yeah, because eventually you all are going to play each other and start taking each other down.
Exactly, that's exactly what happens.
So, but yeah, the new number one this week is Minnesota Duluth. So they had a good weekend. They were in the North Star tournament, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
That's what I thought. And
that's probably the last year for the North Star tournament. It didn't quite go off as well as they thought it was going to.
Good too.
Yeah, it was awful. The fourth year and final year. Yeah, well, it just didn't draw the way they thought it was going to. And I don't think they marketed it right.
Right.
So.
That makes sense. They
may do it differently, but as of right now, they're not going to, so.
Right. And it's really funny because, you know, Jimmy and I are really good friends, and so we do talk a lot. If you guys could just see our conversation on Sunday night, and Jimmy's all like, this week he was kind of like, well, this is, after all the games were over, he was like, this is who I think will be number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. And I'm always like, okay, I'm going to wait till Monday to tell you that you're right. So Monday, I sent him a screenshot, and I was like, hey, Jimmy, you were right. And he had him spot on. I mean, he had him exactly right this week. And he was like, wow, I'm getting really good at this game. And I was like, yeah, you kind of are. So, you know, just to kind of share, you know, a little bit of personal information there. But,
right.
You know, he's really good. Jimmy is definitely the college hockey guru on this show because, I don't get as many games as he can. And I'm really jealous because he'll tell me, like, this game's on or this game's on. And I'm like, I am so super jealous. This is just not fair. I tell him I live in the wrong state, so.
Well, you probably do, but for lots of reasons, not just that one. anyway, what I forgot to mention when we were talking about tournaments and, you know, and different things you can watch, one of the bigger college hockey tournaments, in fact, probably the biggest college hockey tournament outside of the NCAAs is going on in Boston. And it's the women actually played, first game was yesterday, and then in the week they'll play the championship in consolation games. And then the men play this coming Monday, and then the following Monday will be the championship and consolation. But basically what it is you have the four top Boston teams. You have Boston University, Harvard, Northeastern, and Boston College. And those four teams play, and like I say, they play 1 week, and then a week later they play again. And they don't play on the weekend. They play during the week. So to catch the men's game, you know, it will be Harvard and Northeastern, and then Boston University and Boston College will play on Monday. And then the following Monday they'll play their championship, like I said. But the women played last weekend, or last night, I should say, and Boston College beat Boston University, and Northeastern beat Harvard. So it'll be Boston College and Northeastern, which is interesting because, you know, on the men's side, Boston College and Boston University clearly have the most wins from this tournament. But on the women's side, Northeastern and Harvard have the most wins. So this should be interesting to see if Northeastern can knock off Boston College, who is number six right now in the country. So the thing about this tournament that is the most exciting for me or the most meaningful for me is it started in 1952 and has been going ever since. They played in the Boston Arena the first year in 52, and then they moved to, you know, the Garden, Boston Garden, and have been playing there every year since, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is. That's 1952. Wow.
Yeah, you know, that's a lot of years to be playing.
That is.
And it's a lot of tradition. So, yeah, the Beanpot is definitely, as far as, you know, I don't know, you can probably even transcend that to all of the college sports. That's the biggest tournament that there is, or the biggest, you know, rivalry weekend that there is, even though they don't play it on the weekend. But you know what I mean?
Right.
So it should be fun. And the same teams match up on Monday. I know it's on NESN, but I don't know what other sports networks it's on as far as being able to watch it. I'm going to try to find a way to stream it myself because it's just fun. You know, And it's the same matchup. It's Boston College versus Boston University and Northeastern versus Harvard. And they just kind of draw them out of hat each year to determine who plays who. So,
wow, that's good. That's definitely something I want to watch this year. So if we find streaming information, we will definitely be sharing that on Facebook and Twitter as well. Speaking of Facebook and Twitter, do you want to explain to people the link that I put up about the Hopi Baker voting?
Well, I can. The Hobie Baker is basically the same. It goes to the top college hockey player every year, kind of like the Heisman is for the for college football. Yeah, and basically what happened is there's a guy from the Olympic Club here in Bloomington, Minnesota, who met with this guy out in Southern California, and I don't remember exactly where they met or what was going on out there when they were trying to come up with the Wooden Award. So they decided, you know, they kind of pooled their brains, and so the Hobie Baker was born the same time that the Wooden Award was born for college basketball as far as the best player. So basically the way it works is it goes down to you can vote for the best player, who you think is the best player, and they have nominees, and you put up the link for where you can go vote, right, Kimmy?
I did, yes. I posted that on Tuesday, yesterday. So that's on our Facebook page.
So, The interesting thing about that too is if you go check that out, is you know you can find out different things about all the different players that are playing and. It's not just the players that are playing for Duluth or playing for Denver or Minnesota or whatever the high ranking teams or whatever the ones that are perennial college powerhouses. I mean, you've got teams, you've got players that are playing for like Union. You've got players that are playing, but not that Union's a bad team. They won it a couple of years ago, but I think there's a couple guys. There's a goaltender from like New Hampshire. I mean, you've got players from various different teams, and the Hobie Baker is different in the fact that you don't have to have a team that wins. You just have to be the best player. So
that makes
it, in my opinion, one of the better awards.
Oh yeah. And I mean, if you get a chance to visit the website for the Hobie Baker trophy, you can definitely see some of the former winners and where they are now. so it's, you know, when I first started learning about college hockey, and I'm still learning about it, but, it was interesting to go through the past winners and see, oh my gosh, well, this guy is excelling so well where he is now. And, so if you get a chance, definitely check that out, check out the past winners and things like that. It's definitely interesting to see where they've gone.
Well, and it's a good history of the sport, and you know, Hobie Baker was one of the first players to actually play and excel in the United States when I think it was Princeton that decided to have college hockey, and they were playing against the Canadian teams because there really weren't any other college hockey teams here in the States. So, and I believe that their arena is still named Hobie Baker Arena in this state of, you know, corporate sponsors. I think that's really cool that they're still honoring him.
Right. You know, just to kind of give you an example, Johnny Gaudreau was a winner in 2014. Let's see, who are some other winners?
Yeah, he played for Boston, and that was kind of neat. It's interesting the amount of players that have done well or played, at least been, nominees for it. You don't always win it, just like everything else.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they have a great list. I will post that link on the website so that you guys can go visit it and see the past winners and nominees and everything. It's definitely, you know, it, like I said, you know, when you look at some of the names, you're like, wow, okay, so those are well-known players now. But, yeah, I threw that link up there. I know it came up with the Minnesota Gophers, but, you know, you kind of have to ignore that a little bit and just click on that link and you can vote for your favorite college hockey player. So, but, yeah, so besides the Beanpot Tournament, are there any other games you're looking forward to watching this weekend?
Well, there's one big one. It has to be in the backyard. And, you know, and I can say I'm a big Gopher fan, but more of a fan of, you know, just when good teams play. And Penn State's coming to Mariucci to play the Gophers. And, you know, I've kind of been saying all year long that, you know, Penn State is just really hasn't played a whole lot of teams. And when they do, they don't necessarily do very well. And it's kind of proven out. So this should be an interesting tournament or interesting weekend for Penn State to determine, you know, have they just been hyped up by their, you know, strength of schedule being so bad, or, you know, are they a legitimate team? You know, are they legitimate enough to warrant the higher rankings that they've been having? So, I mean, they're coming in, I think they're sixth, and I think the Gophers are seventh. So that'll be, that will be a good, you know, test to see whether or not Penn State's really as good as, you know, as they think they are.
Right. Yep. And we only have a few minutes left, so I will go down the rankings real quick here for college hockey. Of course, number one is Minnesota Duluth, and they actually received 46 votes. Denver's number two. They received 3 votes for number one. Boston University is number three. Union's number four, and they actually got 1 vote for number one. Harvard is number five. Penn State's sixth. Minnesota Gophers are seventh. Boston College is eighth. Ninth is Western Michigan, and 10 is Massachusetts Lowell. And then on the women's side here, we have Wisconsin, who got all 15 votes for number one, as they should. They're, like I said there earlier, their record's 24-2-1. Minnesota Duluth stayed at number two. Clarkson's at three. Minnesota's at four. And St. Lawrence rounds off the top five. And that didn't change. Actually, the only change in the women's ranking was Cornell moved up from 8th to 7th. Robert Morris moved down from 7th to 8th. And then Princeton and Quinnipiac round off the top 10. So those are where the standings are. Next week, I'm sure Jimmy will be 100% correct again when he tells me on Sunday night who's going to be the top five in the men's side. So I'm going to cheat, and I'm just going to send him the top five of the women's and be like, look, this is what it's going to be next week, too.
Right, because that won't change, probably. So.
You know, it's highly unlikely unless a major upset happens. So, but, yeah, that's our show for tonight, guys. Jimmy, thank you again for your input and being the co-host here. Really, really enjoyed working with you, and, you know, the show actually went very great again. Questions were wonderful. Keep those coming. We love answering those. And like I said, next week we are going to be doing our top tens, so that should be fun. And then in 2 weeks, Mark Kelly will be on with us again. Everybody really loves to talk to Mark and love listening to him. So that's our show for tonight. We will be back here next week, same time, same place, same two people. So you have a great week,
awesome.
Jimmy.
All right, you too, Kimmy. You guys have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye, everybody.